Take your Bibles and let's look in the Gospel of Luke tonight. And I don't plan on being long tonight. I know we kind of got some bad, potentially, you know, icy weather and that type of thing coming, and so I don't want to just kind of keep those things in mind, anyways. But I just have kind of a simple thought, and again, don't plan on being long tonight, but I do want to give what the Lord's put on my heart, and I believe it'd be a blessing help to us. Out of Luke chapter 14, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 16, probably a pretty familiar passage to all of us, and again, I want to give you kind of a simple thought out of it. Luke 14, verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." That's what we ought to be doing, by the way. Amen. He said, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." I'm interested, really, I'm going to kind of zero in on verse number 18, will kind of be my text verse, and just a phrase out of this verse, and then we'll look at some different things through the passage. But in verse 18 it says, "They all with one consent began to make excuse." And so I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes, and again, try not to be long, but on the thought of excuses, dealing with excuses. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight, and I thank you for letting us be in the house of God, the good prayer time that we've had, and Lord, just the time to be together. And Lord, I thank you for your people, and Lord, gathering ourselves together once again. And Father, I pray for those that are not here tonight for various reasons. I know some are sick and not feeling well, and Lord, I just pray that you touch them and bless them. Lord, I pray that you bring them back to us, raise them up, and bring them back to the house of God. Lord, I pray that you would, bless those of us that are here. Lord, thank you that we're able to be in the house of God tonight. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to hear from heaven. I pray that you would remind us of things. Lord, you'd encourage us, uplift us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I just pray your will be done, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we look at this passage, the Lord here is telling a relatively well-known, story. It's a well-known passage. And what we find here is that there is a powerful man. He said a certain man in verse 16. He made a great supper, and it says that he bade many. He asked a lot of people. He invited a lot of people to come. And he got everything ready. He no doubt put a lot of into it. He put a lot of investment. He made it big and tried to make it nice. And whenever it became supper time, the Bible says, with one accord, all those that he bade began to make excuses for reasons why they couldn't come. And one thing that we really need to know and really need to grasp hold of and understand is that there is a huge difference between an excuse and a reason.
And the Bible specifically says that they began to make excuse. They did not give the reasons, they made excuse, because there is a big reason or a big difference in the two. And as we look at this, again, I know this is a simple thought. Maybe we'll just be kind of reminded of some things and think about some things. And my prayer tonight is that within all of us and myself, that the Lord, that the Holy Spirit would put a finger on the spot in our soul, or maybe show us the area of our lives where maybe we really probably make more excuses than we really ought to. Maybe, you know, probably most all of us here, for the most part, claim to be saved, been in church, raised in church. And so, you know, for the most part, we'd all say, you know, we're trying our best to serve God. We want to serve God. But possibly within all of us, even though we've not made the big grand excuse to not serve God at all, but perhaps all of us have an area or areas where, if we'd be honest, I mean, we're just making excuses. I mean, I could be doing this, and I know I ought to be doing this, but we just make excuses for why I'm not, you know. And an excuse is a way of shifting responsibility or attempting to shift responsibility. That's what the flesh always wants to do. And that's why so many lost people make excuses. That's why the Lord deals with this passage here, because the flesh always wants to shift responsibility and shift blame to somebody or something else. And that's why people flee conviction, because what the Holy Spirit does, He zeroes in on you. He's not talking to somebody else. He's talking to you. And He pulls up in your backyard, and He's talking to you where you're at, where you're living. And if somebody doesn't respond to that, the flesh just ain't going to take a lot of that. The flesh just isn't gonna deal with a whole lot of that, because it puts a lot of blame and shines the light on me. Well, what tends to happen is when everything's exposed in us, we make an excuse to attempt to put that blame and shine that light over here. It's sleight of hand is what it is. We're trying to do a magic trick, you know, and shift the blame and shift the attention somewhere else. And if we'd all be honest, it's possible that most or all of us could possibly have at least an area in our life where, if we just be honest, we're just making excuses. And so I want to look at a few things here and look at this passage. Now, I do want to say this. Primarily speaking, this story is got the application of salvation. And the Lord really tightens down and cinches down the thing of salvation. Matter of fact, there at the end, I think it's so interesting that the Lord says, if any man, in verse 26, come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That word hate means to love less. You can't love anything more. He said, even your own life, and be my disciple. And that's just what he said. I mean, that's just plain and simple. And then he said in verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It's an impossibility. In other words, he's going to have first place or no place in everybody's life. And that always gets back to the thing we deal with a lot, that if there's one thing that stands between you and the Lord, well, that's going to be the one thing that keeps you out. For some people, it may be many things, but for some people, it could be one thing. And he said, even your own life, if you love it more than me, that has to do with your will. That has to do with your plans. That has to do with what you want to do, running it your way. And as long as that's your mentality, you'll never get in. Listen, I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, that listen, ego is buried at Calvary. We bury our ego at Calvary. We are hid with God in Christ. And our life isn't even about us anymore whenever we get saved. It's about Him and doing His will. Amen. But even those of us that are saved, we'd be honest, there's areas, if we're not careful, we'll kind of make excuses sometimes. And so let's look at some excuses. And there's three areas of excuse made here. And it covers every area of excuse that's ever made. Any excuse that is ever made for not serving God or not doing what God wants to do, it's always going to fall into one of these three categories. And so let's look at them. The first one is in verse number 18. It says, and they with all with one consent. By the way, if you make an excuse, there will always be a crowd there to make an excuse with you, by the way. The devil will always have a crowd for you. They all with one consent. One of them made an excuse, and so that kind of, you know, that kind of helped the other one. Well, I can't come either. Well, they can't come, so I can't come either. And, you know, misery loves company. And so does sin. Amen? And so they all with one consent. There'll always be a crowd to go with you whenever you don't serve God. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. So the first excuse is an excuse of property. This guy, whoever this is, says, you know, Lord, I've bought some property, and I've got to go see this property. So if it's all right, I'm just have me excused. I'm not going to be able to make it. Now, let me just say, again, this is not a reason. This is an excuse. Who buys property that they've never seen? You know what I'm saying? It's possible he's just making something up, you know. I mean, because who does that? Who buys property they've never seen? But the excuse is, well, I bought this property. I got to go see it, you know. And so it's an excuse of property. It's an excuse regarding material things, something physical, something material we have here. And one thing is for sure is that the day and age we are living in is a materialistic day and age. If there's ever been a materialistic age, it is this age, this hour we are living in. And it has captured the heart of most people, even God's people, if we're not careful. Amen? I think it's always interesting. Every year, I'm so thankful we live in a country that sets aside a day of thanksgiving and prayer unto God for all of His blessings. But it gets me every year how one day we claim to be thankful for what we have, and then the very next day we fight over what we don't have. Black Friday. Right? You got Thanksgiving on Thursday, then people are literally beating each other up and killing each other over the things that they don't have the very next day. Amen? That is America for you. That's the materialistic age that we are in. And I want to say, and you know this, that listen, material things, possessions, they are amoral. They're not right or wrong. They're not good or bad. They really are what we make them. And possessions, many times, especially particularly in the Old Testament, were the blessings of God. And I don't know about you, but I feel very blessed by the possessions that I have, don't you? But the reality is that possessions can be a blessing or a curse. And there's not one thing wrong with possessions as long as we have the right perspective about possessions. It's good to have things, and I feel blessed to have the things that we have. And I'm thankful for, you know, the things God has given me in my family. I'm thankful for that heater tonight, praise God. I'm praying that I don't lose that heater tonight, don't you? I mean, I'm thankful for God that for all the good things of even the modern era, the modern times. I mean, people talk about the good old days, but you can go back to the good old days. No air conditioning if you want to. I like it right here. Amen. And I know there were good things that were different back then, but I'm just saying we've got a lot of blessings. And even in just recent years, it's amazing all that we've got now. You know, refrigeration isn't even that old. Like barely 100 years people have even had a refrigeration. Like there was no such thing as a refrigerator before that. And we've all got one. Matter of fact, everybody thinks you have to have one. Right? That's right. Or two or three or four. Right? And see, that's the problem. Amen? The problem with possessions is when we get to the place where we think we have to have them. The reality is we could do without a whole lot less than we think we could do without. Right? I mean, who here could live without a stove? We think we can't, but my word, the majority of the world has and even does now, right now. No oven, no stove, you know, no running water, dirt floor in their house. You know, I mean, the majority of the world has lived that way. And I'm just simply saying, I don't want to live that way by any means. And I'm not saying that there's anything particularly spiritual about living that way. God's been good to us, and I thank God for it. But what I'm simply saying is that we have to keep possessions within the right frame, the right perspective of them. And it's good to have things, but hold on to them loosely. Always have a loose grip on the things that you have. Amen. Listen, don't ever have anything that, I mean, it's just going to ruin your life if you lose it. Amen. It's a good sign. Anything, if you can think of anything in your life and you think, man, I don't know if I could go on if we ever lost that. I mean, it just would be so awful, you know. I mean, if anything like that, that's a good sign. That's become an idol in your life. Amen. It's gotten too important to you. Amen. Listen, I've got some things that I hold dear, sentimental things. We all have those things. When you have a house fire, you really find that out, don't you? Amen. I guess God uses things like that to help keep it in the right perspective, don't it? Amen. Anybody I've ever talked to that's lost everything, they say, you know, it's just things. They can be replaced. And that's the grace of God, by the way. God does that. Amen. Because we all have sentimental things. We all have things we wouldn't want to lose. Amen. But at the end of the day, if the things are gone, we've still got Him, and that's the greatest thing we could ever have. Amen. Amen. I've got things that I wouldn't want to lose. I've got things that I wouldn't want to get stolen or burn up in a house fire or lost in a tornado, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, me and Hannah were just talking not long ago. I mean, we lock our doors and stuff when we leave. I mean, you know, everybody locks up their house, I guess. But really, when I think about it, like, you know, we don't really have that much to give for somebody to steal. Like, what's anybody going to take, you know? I mean, it's not like we got that much. And that's really, I want to always be that way. Amen. We were just talking, the men were just talking in the prayer room tonight, just service, about Matthew Henry and that time he wrote about getting robbed on his way home and all that list of the five things he was thankful for in being robbed. And he was thankful that even though they took his purse, they didn't take his life. And he said, I'm thankful that even though they took everything I had, it wasn't much. And I'm thankful that I was the one being robbed and not the one doing the robbing. And I mean, just down and down and down we go. Listen, that's a loose grip on the things, and that's having your heart and your mind set on the right things. Amen. Hey, thank God for property. Thank God for material. But it ought to never become an excuse to not do the will of God. Amen. Possessions are never a reason to not give God our best. They might be an excuse to a lot of people, but it's never a reason. Never. Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? We're talking about things. All these things shall be added unto you. And I'm sure probably all of us would have to agree that in terms of things, in the realm of things, all of our needs are met and most of our wants are met too. God's been good to us. Amen. And it could all be gone before the sun comes up in the morning if God wants it to. Amen. And He could give us a hundredfold what we have now, or He could take it all from us. The point is, He's the one that's in charge of it all. And so the best thing we could do is just serve Him and never use those things that He's given to us anyways as an excuse not to serve Him. Listen, those things, I believe this, if we could use things as an excuse to serve God, and you know what God will do? He'll take them from you. Amen. He'll make sure that excuse ain't there anymore, right? And so the excuse of property. But then there's another excuse here in verse 19. It says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. So the first one is an excuse of property. The second one's an excuse of pursuit. Neither one of them know anything about this thing that they've supposedly bought. That's amazing. That's like buying a car you never test drove. I bought some oxen. I got to go prove them. Now, who doesn't prove the oxen before you buy them? Who doesn't make sure the car runs good before you buy it, you know? That's like saying, well, I bought this car. I got to go make sure it runs good, you know? I bought a tractor. I got to go make sure it's going to do the job now, you know? And so both of them have a pretty lame excuse whenever you look at it. But the first one's an excuse of property, material thing. The next one is an excuse of pursuit. What he basically could have said is, Lord, I really am just too busy. I just got too much going on. I'm just too busy. Matter of fact, not long ago at the jail, we invited one of the jailers to church, and that was his exact excuse. He said, I would, and I'd love to, but I don't have time. That's what he said. And I told him right there, so I said, man, you better make time for God. Amen. Because listen, just like material things have all been given to us by God, our time has been given to us by God too. And you won't have one more second if God doesn't give it to you. Amen? He's blessed us with our time. And one thing is for sure, just as much as these are materialistic days we're living in, these are busy days we're living in. Life isn't slowing down and getting simpler. You have to be very intentional about simplifying your life today. It doesn't happen on its own. If you just go with the flow, I'm telling you, your life will get so complicated. You have to be intentional to simplify everything and turn things off and turn down the noise and get along with God, get along with your family. Because these are busy times. And isn't it amazing that we have got more, quote-unquote, time-saving technology right now than we've ever had? There's more time-saving technology than ever. And yet we still have less time. That's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, every day, I mean, they're coming out with something to make things simpler and easier and more streamlined, more efficient, and to save time, and yet we've just still got less time. You know, the enemies of your soul would have you overtaken with business and pursuit and just all the things in life that take your time. Amen. I mean, that is what that's the world, the flesh, the devil. And Jesus even warned His disciples about that. He warned them regarding being overcome, overcharged, He said. Overcharged with surfeiting. That is, overcome and overcharged with things that aren't necessarily sin in and of themselves, but they become sin whenever you get too much of them, and it takes the place of serving God and doing the will of God. Anything that keeps you from reading your Bible every day is an idol. Anything, and it's an excuse. Anything that keeps you from praying, it's an excuse. Anything that keeps you from being faithful to God is an excuse. Amen? Anything that keeps you being faithful to the house of God is an excuse. There's never a reason. Now, I know that from time to time there are some reasons. I know that I'm not telling you, do not come to church if you're sick, okay? If you've ran a fever within the last 24 hours, don't come. I don't want you here. That's the only time you'll ever hear me say that. Okay? I love you, but look, I mean, if you're sick, you're sick, you know? And I'm sure Miss Miranda thinks I'm shooting at her tonight because she came in after work. Were you working? And so this has nothing to do with you, amen? In fact, I appreciate somebody that'll go ahead and come on in when they've been working. You know what a lot of people would do? Would use that as an excuse. Man, it's been a long day, and I had church this morning, then I worked all afternoon, and I'm just wore out, you know, and I'm going to be late anyways. And you get all these excuses, and so you just, before long, you've talked yourself into just going on home. Right? I appreciate anybody that'd be fine. I appreciate anybody that coming to church with the work clothes on. Because they came straight from work, or they came straight from whatever. I mean, and they just came. I appreciate that. That's a blessing. But I am simply saying, you know in your heart, and God knows, the pursuits in life that are keeping you from serving God, and it's not a reason, it is an excuse. It's an excuse. Too busy, that phrase, too busy is never a reason to not give God first place in your life. You need to take time to do so. The songwriter said, take time to be holy. And it does require that. It requires taking the time. In fact, the Bible says it requires redeeming the time. Amen? And so the devil and the enemies of the soul will steal it all from you. You got to redeem it back. Excuse of property, excuse of pursuit. Let me give you this one very quickly. Last of all, it's in verse number 20. Look at what it says. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore, I cannot come. One preacher said this is the only man that had a legitimate reason. I'm married. My wife said I can't come. That's the only legitimate reason. One out of three is pretty good, right? Well, the reality is this guy had an excuse too. And his was an excuse of person. So there's an excuse of property, excuse of pursuit, and then an excuse of person. It is amazing how often people get blamed for problems. Not serving God, not doing right, not doing what we're supposed to be doing. In fact, I feel like this, blaming other people is possibly the most common excuse. I would if it wasn't for my wife. I would if it wasn't for my husband. You know, if it wasn't for my kids, if it wasn't for my parents, if it wasn't for this person or that person. I mean, there's always a person that we can kind of like shift the blame on, right? And so it's kind of like, you know, these boys are so deprived. These boys of ours are so deprived. They never get candy, you know. And so, and what can they do get? It's never enough, you know. And so it's pretty often, I don't know how much they've had or not had. So they're coming to me, can I have a mint? Can I have this or the other? And so go ask your mom, right? Right, you know, go ask her. That's the excuse, you know. But, if we'd be honest, that's the way we do a lot of things. Well, you know, it depends on what they say. It depends on what they're going to do. Listen, whenever it comes to serving God, it never depends on what somebody else is going to do. It never depends on what somebody else says. It never depends on what decision somebody else has made. It never depends on how somebody else is going to feel about it or how they're going to take it or whatever. You'll never, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, let me see what they're going to do or what. Let me see what she says or he said or whatever. I mean, you'll never find that in the Bible, but blaming other people is always probably the most common excuse. See, we tend to want to blame others for our failures, and we want to blame others for our disappointments, blame others for our troubles, and blame others, you know, for why we can't be better servants for God. Now, of course, if things are going so good in our life, we're responsible, right? It's always me when things are going good, but it's somebody else when things are bad. And that's true in spiritual things too. Lost people will blame other people. The lost blame other people for staying lost. It's the hypocrites that get them, right? Well, I'd get in church and I'd do this, that, and the other, but you know, them hypocrites, they just really get me. They just really get me. Well, I believe what Oliver B. Green used to say. That you might not go to the church with the hypocrites, but you'll go to hell with them if you don't get saved. Amen? You know what it is? It's an excuse. It's an excuse. I'll never forget, I think it was Brother Johnny who was talking about knocking doors one time. This has been years ago. And knocked on this door, and this lady or man, whoever it was, come to the door, and they invite him to church. And so, you know, we'd love to have you, that sort of deal. And the response was, I'm sorry, I can't go. I don't have any peanut butter sandwiches. Which kind of takes you back, you know, like, I'm sorry, what? And they said, well, I don't have any peanut butter sandwiches. I figure one excuse is as good as another, and so I ain't coming. You know? I mean, I appreciate somebody at least being honest, right? I don't want to come. I ain't going to come. One excuse is as good as another, you know? You know, we're kind of missing that nowadays, aren't we? You know, I mean, well, the first step to getting anywhere with God is getting honest anyways, you know. And so, you know, but the people, the lost people, for not serving God, not being saved, they'll blame somebody else. The same guy that he was talking about inviting to church, he didn't have time, and then it rolled right into his wife. Wife, health problems, all these things. I spend so much time taking care of this, and so I can't, you know. Saved people will blame people too, though. They'll blame people for their lack of service, their lack of faithfulness. You know, I've heard a lot of times people blame kind of the rest of the church for them not doing what God wants them to do, not doing right. You know, like if we just had, more, you know, more people doing this or, you know, I'm the only one doing that, or, you know, if we had more young people. Listen, get in and serve God where you're at, regardless of what anybody else is doing. God's not going to hold them responsible. Somebody else responsible for what I did or didn't do, and He's not going to do the same with you either. Amen? And so people are never a reason to not serve God. In fact, looking unto people is never a good idea anyways. We're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, not anybody else. He also talked about how, you know, they that compare themselves by themselves, They're not wise. Amen? Because people will always become an excuse if you're not careful. So remember this, that there's a difference in an excuse and a reason. And if you've got a reason, God knows that. God understands that. Amen? But we got to be careful that we don't, make a reason out of something that's just an excuse. Now, there's an unending list of excuses to not be what God wants us to be. But there really is no real reason. The devil will give you a list. Your flesh will give you a list. This world will give you a list a million miles long of all the excuses to not do what God wants you to do, but there really just isn't a reason. There's never a reason. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, for helping us tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to search our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd, Lord, help us, Lord, to see if there be any wicked way within us, Lord, any area, big or small, Lord, where if we'd be honest, we just making excuses, or we know what we ought to do and we ought to just be doing it, but we're just making excuses. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us and help us. I pray, Lord, if there be anyone here tonight, Lord, who's in that situation, Lord, that you've made it clear to them, they're just making excuses. Lord, I pray that, Lord, they'd get right with you, and Lord, by your grace, Lord, they'd do business with you. Lord, I pray if there be a lost sinner here tonight, Lord, that's just made excuses to not get saved and serve God. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. They junk their excuses and do business with you. Lord, have your will and way in the altar call, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.